Welcome back. What's going on? How y'all living? We start hour number two. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, so let me get you caught up on a little bit of the reaction. This goes back to hour number one. We had a caller, Jim in Arizona. He said, I meant to get through earlier in the week about the controversy involving the Kentucky Derby winner, but, and this is his words, not mine, but I know Bob Baffert. I go way back with Bob Baffert. I talked to Bob Baffert 6 months ago. He would never, ever cheat. And I said, you know what? Good. I'm glad. I still love the sport. I'm still invested in the sport. We can't have that in our sport. And if you say so, that's good enough for me. Apparently not good enough for the clones, though. Hey, Rome, Jim in Arizona, Baffert's friend, made a great point. Once you're on top, there is no incentive to cheat. Sincerely, A-Rod, Sosa, Bonds, McGuire, Clemens, Lance Armstrong, Ben Johnson, Marion Jones, the Astros, the Patriots, Russian Olympians, Danny Almonte. Crap. Let's just say, sincerely, sports. Marshall in Orlando. Well done. Hey, Rome, I know Steph Curry really well, and I can tell you he would never cut in line boarding a plane. Signed, that old dude at the airport. Ray, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
So I'm flying to Atlanta, right? I'm in Oakland Airport. So I'm sitting in zone three. So she calls zone two up, and I'm looking, and here comes Stephen Curry. Walks right up to the front of the line. The lady looks at his ticket, and she goes, sir, you want to stand right here? So he stands right next to me, Stephen Curry, and I look at him. I go, bro, zone three? And he looked at it, and he goes, yeah, zone three.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Pretty awesome, Ray. I'm laughing at Ray, but I'm laughing at my response. Thanks for sharing, Ray. Retroactively, Ray. Nice job. Hey, Jimmy. This name is getting heavy. Mind if I drop it right here? Thanks, Jim in Arizona. Unwar calling a national radio show to tell everybody that you talked to a cheater 6 months ago. No one cares, loser. Seth in Western Mass. I'm not saying that he cheated. I'm saying there was a positive test after his horse won the Derby and we're waiting on the return of the split sample. But not Jim in Arizona, because he knows that he would never cheat.
He would never, ever do anything to cheat.
There you go. Hey, Rome. I know Barry Bonds was not on the juice. I had calamari with him on a trip to Grotto Number 9 in the Bay that one summer. Barry just would not do that. Regards, Jim in Arizona. Hey, Rome, I don't believe Jeff Dahmer ate people's brains. I only saw him eat Cheerios. Signed, a daycare classmate. They're already turning it into a Dahmer joke. What it do, Tan Smack? I agree with that caller. I played golf once with OJ. There is no way he would decapitate two people. Yours, that loser with that fake story.
Oh.
Eric near the Canadian Falls. He signed it Elite Jungle Contributor. You got part of that, right? Hi, Jim. This is Jim in Arizona. This is not Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert is a good man. Bob Baffert didn't cheat. Regards, Bob Baffert. Oh, Jim.
I'm on his side.
Geoff in Lincoln. Casey in New Hampshire tweets, Jim in Arizona is also tight with the Nigerian prince. Brenton PC, quote, what am I doing here? Signed, writ on the soundboard.
What are we doing here?
He's not,
like,
though.
What are we doing? Like, what am I doing here?
Johnny Scabs, quote, what am I doing here? What are we doing here? What am I doing here?
Like,
signed, a diabetic's second shoe.
What are we doing here?
Hey, Scabs, I thought you were going in on blind folks. Signed, a diabetic's second shoe. You mean like he got his foot cut off because of diabetes, therefore
diabetes,
no longer
diabetes,
needs
diabetes,
a shoe
diabetes.
For that nub? Is that what you're saying?
Diabetes, 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 diabetes.
Why are you making fun, Alvin, of diabetes, diabetes?
Diabetes, diabetes, diabetes,
diabetes. Idiots, stop. All of you. Hey, Rome Slice, what am I doing here? What are we doing? What am I doing here?
Like, what are we doing? Like,
signed, Brian Weber, like, waking up face down in a pile of McRib wrappers after an all-night bender.
Scribbins has an answer.
Like, what are we doing?
Richard in Chicago. What are we doing here, man?
Like, what are we doing?
All right, moving along. I've got Trey Mancini coming up at 10:40 in 1:40 Eastern Time, 10:40 Pacific. So remember back in February when former major leaguer Johnny Damon went all Johnny Walker with it? And the one-time Kansas City Royal looked like a stumbling, bumbling bottle of Crown Royal. You remember that, right? Like, all DUIs are so inexcusable, insanely reckless, and dangerous, and the most unforgivable thing ever because they're so easily preventable. Don't drink and drive. And if you're going to drink, just make sure somebody else drives. It's easy. There are rideshare programs everywhere. You can get a designated driver. You could call a cab. Any of these things work, and they're so easy to do, every one of them. And no, there is no sliding scale on DUIs. All DUIs are horrible. But put Damon in a really unforgettable show or group. This guy. I mean, how about this guy? I mean, dude was pretty good with a bat in his hand, hitting 284 lifetime, but apparently even better with a bottle in his hand because he blew a 294. That's not easy to do, all right? There's shooting your age in golf, there's benching your total weight, and then there's having a BAC higher than your lifetime batting average. And he was a pretty damn good hitter. So take that dip for data as well. He blew a BAC higher than his batting average. If you saw or heard the body cam footage from that night that he was arrested, then you know somebody should have had the presence of mind, like Manny Ramirez back in the day, to cut this guy off. The video of the arrest is hard to watch. Damon is slurring his words. He's insisting that he was being targeted because of his politics. His wife was battering an officer because she didn't want to go to the slammer. I mean, the whole thing was horrible. Really, really bad. And the fact that two people who were that out of their minds and on the road makes a bad thing, a terrifying thing, and a reason for the rest of us to be enraged. Who knows how badly they could have hurt somebody else or maybe even killed that night. Damon, however, apparently decided to use some of his $120 million in career earnings on lawyers. Spending it on lawyers instead of a Lyft or an Uber or a cab. And those lawyers did some lawyering up and somehow got the charges dropped. Like, completely dropped. Johnny Damon, who was nearly four times over the legal limit and could not stand up straight at 1:23 in the morning after getting pulled over, is skating. This guy was staring down 9 months in the clink, but somehow got off by scratching a check and agreeing to some community service. And just like that, done. Got over. So when people say that money cannot buy you everything, maybe not everything, but mostly everything, just point to Johnny Damon. Because maybe it can't buy you everything, but it can buy your way out of jail. Now it's unclear what's going to happen to his wife. Her case is more complicated because she laid hands. She laid hands on the arresting officers, and she was charged with two felonies. Now she's looking at multiple years in the big house. So instead of drinking red wine and rolling around with her old man, she may have to settle for toilet wine and rolling around the yard with cellmates, which again could have been avoided if Johnny Walker Blue Label just called for a ride. Easiest thing ever. Half the family has bought their way out of any real punishment or accountability. The other half is now trying to do the exact same thing. So if sex and father time are the only true, undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champions of the world, money is not far behind. Money rarely loses. Just ask Johnny Damon. Little community service for being four times over the legal limit, and now he's done. People also pointing out, after he bought his way out of that, that today is actually a very unique day in the jungle. Today is the one-year anniversary of Reggie in the OC, making this unforgettable yet extremely regrettable phone call. Who will ever forget where they were and what they were doing when this guy made this call?
I had to get in on this, man. Rome, honestly, I'm...
That's not a good call. No.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Who will ever forget where they were and what they were doing when they heard that phone call? I know I never will. Well, for one thing, I was sitting right here, but who will ever forget where they were, what they were doing, and what they were thinking when this guy made this phone call?
I had to get in on this, man. Rome, honestly, I'm...
That's not a good call.
It's almost fake, right? It's almost like Jeff in Southfield or somebody called up to do an impression or do something fake. I mean, the constant and multiple throat clears are absolutely incredible. Rome, like homeboy is waiting for the mask to drop out of the ceiling and for somebody to apply it to his face. Or he's reaching for a brown paper bag, anything to get control of himself. So I'm not going to sit here and pile on and just keep playing that call. Yes, I am.
I had to get in on this, man. Rome, honestly, I'm...
I love how he starts the call with, "Hey, man, I had to get in on this. I had to get in on this." Really? You had that much of a sense of urgency. Exactly what is it, Reggie, that you have to get in on?
I had to get in on this, man. Rome, honestly, I'm...
Honestly?
No.
Honestly, you should have never called, bro. Honestly. Anyway, this is the one-year anniversary of that phone call. So what do you do for a one-year anniversary? Is that gold? Is that silver? Is that copper? I don't know, man. Whatever it is, it deserves something really special. Hey, Rome, I got hit with a channel higher than my batting average. Signed, Bo Diaz. That remains the one thread on this program that I have never understood. And I host this show. Always have, always will. And I will never understand the fascination with Bo Diaz and how he passed. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, "Time to pull that drunk bus of yours out of the garage and sign an exclusive deal with MLB. Johnny Damon and Tony La Russa will keep you in business for years."
R-S-T-U-V.
I prefer to think about positive things. Like the time Reggie in the OC called.
I had to get in on this, man. Rome, honestly, I'm...
That's not a good call. No.
Is it me or does that get funnier every single time you hear it? Anyway, Reg, happy anniversary, brah. Hope it's a good one. Hope you enjoy yourself. Let's quickly go to Buffalo. Margot in Buffalo. Hey, Margot. Hello.
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 Okay. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch here. Last week, after you got off of the phone with Brandon Bean, later that evening on the evening news, he had said that if there weren't any vaccinated players, he would cut them. Soon after that, NFL calls. You can't say that. Josh Allen had a conversation with Kyle Brandt about it. He's on the fence. Yesterday, CDC announces you can be indoor, outdoors, if you're fully vaccinated without a mask. Soon after that, Cole Beasley, number 11, our greatest wide receiver, I think, right now, he says if everybody's vaccinated, then if I'm walking around without a mask, what are you all worried about it if you're vaccinated? However, on the turn of that, like many, many, many Bills Mafia fans, I mean, they've gone out and gotten their shot in a beer just so they can attend the game. So I think there's a building controversy happening. What do you think the NFL is going to do if NFL players aren't vaccinated?
Okay, Margo, let me jump in there. These guys have done everything they possibly could to get on the field. I'm still shocked that the NFL was able to pull off what they did. So in terms of what will they do if guys do not get vaccinated, I'm pretty sure guys will get vaccinated, not everybody. And we'll see what the NFL does with that. But I know this, they want to do everything they can to get those teams on the field, to get them on the air, to get their money, to get paid, and to get people back in the stands. What are they about? They're about the bottom line. They're about making money. Availability is your best ability. Let's make sure we're doing everything we can to keep everybody vaccinated. So where are you all at with that? I'm about to hit my 2-week clearance off of my second vaccination. Personally, the way that I'm going to approach this, I got my two doses. Sunday is the official 2-week clearance. I'm still wearing my mask. I still wear it out every single day. I wear it wherever I go, and it's still not a problem for me. You know what's a problem for me? Businesses closing down, kids having to do homeschooling, a pandemic, a virus. I'm not trying to get on the wrong side of any of you. I'm just telling you how I'm handling this. I'm still wearing the mask. It doesn't bother me. I don't even know what's on. So I think that the NFL is going to do what they did already and will continue to do. Make damn sure that the product is the product and it's on the field and they're getting paid. That's what I think. 1-800-636. Hey, Margo. Hello. 1-800-636-8686. So, a lot of NBA action, games that matter. Albert Pujols, man, say what you want about this guy, but there is no way that a Hall of Famer like that should have his career end like that if, in fact, it's going to. And I'm not even picking a side. Like, I know why he and his supporters are bent. I know why the Angels were looking to release him. It basically sucks all the way around. And I want to get into that too. Trey Mancini coming up later on this hour. Mike Budenholzer coming up next hour. And then, like I mentioned, we've got an amazing fight card coming up. UFC 262. It's a can't-miss event. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of USC, is giving all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is so easy to play. All you do is pick six fighters. You stay under the salary cap. You pile up points for advances and takedowns and more. There is no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of bucks in total prizes. And don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the entire week. DraftKings is safe. It's secure. It's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So download the DraftKings app right now. Use the promo code ROME, R-O-M-E, for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. Promo code ROME. DraftKings is the app. The promo code is ROME. Take your shot right now. DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. Promo code ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Keeping your car clean is simple, inexpensive maintenance that can help keep your car looking like new. That's what I'm talking about here. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted services, as well as interior care products like leather and vinyl and carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the very best detailing products for your car. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find the right wiper blades for your car. They'll even install your wiper blades free of charge. How about your battery? You think maybe your battery might need to be replaced as well? Good. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery does need to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. So a couple of things keep coming back up. Number one, some of you still want to know why I took off three shows and took off those shows without saying before any of those shows that I was going to miss shows. And you're still asking. And my response is still the exact same thing that I said when I came back. None of your damn business. That's respectfully. Fine. Respectfully. I had personal business to tend to. I tended to that business. I took care of it. That's I fine. Came back. Here I am. Here the bleep I am. Why are you still here asking me? That's just not a question that you should be asking at this point. Now, this other question is a fair question. Rome, are you hanging out with a void or not this weekend? Remember, Benny Scholl invited me personally to hang out with him and the band, A Void, in Malibu because they were shooting a music video this weekend and are going to. And my man Ben got to Adam Hawk and laid out the itinerary. And apparently these dudes are coming in. And they're not coming in to take part. They're coming in to take over, apparently. The band A Void is going to run roughshod over Malibu. Boys, be responsible. You know, these guys are like, one drink, one stop, there's a better party, and we're not at it. But when we arrive, it will be a better party. Me, the band, Rome in tow. It's going to be a magical weekend in Malibu. I'm leaning very strongly to no. And by that, I mean hell no, Ben. No offense. No! Now, Adam Hawk, though, also got the invite, and he was thinking about it. In fact, Adam, hit me up really quickly. Did you decide? Are you going to hang out with Benny and the fellas?
Well, first off, Benny did say he listened to the show yesterday, and he heard the many mentions. He was thrilled. Very excited.
Should be. You know what that would cost if you had to buy those mentions, Benny?
A lot of money. And
all the money in the world, Ben.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the latest correspondence with Ben. He was like, hey, I'm going to send you the address to the music video shoot. We're in town and free most of this weekend. So let's go do dinner
except for the 12 hours that they have to spend shooting that vid.
Other than that, he said, yeah, let's go grab some dinner or something. So maybe we grab dinner. If he can get out of Malibu to hang out, that would be way more ideal. Because we talked about it yesterday,
yeah,
getting
dude,
in
why
and
would
out of
he
Malibu.
Leave Malibu to come to you? Yeah, tell me why anybody, no offense, and somebody's about to get offended, why would anybody leave Malibu to come to Fullerton?
Well, I'm not saying he has to go all the way down to the greatest city in the world. I'm saying that if he just drives a little bit south down
what,
the
you
one.
You moved to San Diego.
No, Fullerton is the greatest city in the world. If he just drives a little
since
bit.
Since when?
Since I got there. If he drives.
You made it better?
Sure did.
Are you one of those guys who, whenever you come across something, you make it better than when you first inherited it or saw it?
I would like to think absolutely yes.
I'm sure you would like to think that. The answer is you don't, Hawk. I know. Take this radio show, for instance.
I apologize for that.
Okay.
But
anyway.
If Benny just drives south into Santa Monica, that's so much easier. And Santa Monica is still a pain in the ass, but it's way easier than Malibu.
The People's Republic of Santa Monica, of course.
Yes.
So do you think that he's going to leave Malibu to find you halfway?
I'll tell you this. As a fellow guy from Seattle, I mean, Santa Monica is not a bad place to be when you were just in Seattle, you know? Especially right now. Very nice weather. He can hang out
at the
pier.
Have you ever once answered a direct question with a direct answer?
No.
No, I don't think. Ever. So are you going or not?
Undecided.
Okay. Thanks for playing along.
You
Adam.
Got it.
Thanks for making it worse, Adam. Pagak! All right, so that's where that stands. I'm still getting people asking, are you going or not? And the answer is still pretty much no. And not in. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Dude, I love it. But let's not compare me saying no to Benny Scholl compared to me saying no to Robert Plant. Let's not get crazy with that like some of you are. Like, Rome, do it. Do it, man. You will regret this as much as you still regret not taking Robert Plant up on his offer. Dude, let's not confuse the band Avoid with the band Led Zeppelin, all right? If that's not too much to ask. I'm all about Ben. I'm all about the band. I'm all about them coming to the beach to shoot their video. I'm all about the invite. I'm just not all about accepting the invite. But you know what? Who knows, dude? My perspective on these things have really changed over time. There's so many things that I didn't say yes to because I thought it was too busy, or I thought that it was too important. Just, I mean, idiotic things. Then now that I look back, I'm like, why didn't you just step up? Why didn't you just do that? How much fun would that have been? Think of the memories you would have. How could you literally not just take advantage of that? Oh, you were too busy. Oh, yeah, you're too big league. I know this, man. I've gotten older. I've kind of mellowed out. I've matured. I don't want to look back and regret something that I should have said yes to. This is not one of those things. I will not regret saying no to Avoid. We're all good, Ben. I'm not coming, but we're all good. Let's see. What do we got here? Pauly T. Wall, quote, Avoid is making a music video. What is this? 2000 MTV Total Request Live? I don't know, man. I just know that he and the band are either here or are going to be here shortly, and they're going to make a video this weekend, with or without me. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, what's good about Fullerton? I mean, you don't hear about anybody going to Fullerton for vacation. Signed, Joakim Noah.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. What's so good about Cleveland?
You like it? You think Fullerton is cool? I never heard anybody say they were going to Fullerton on vacation. You think it's cool?
What's so good about...
People show up in Fullerton. Why, I'm not sure. It's adjacent to Disneyland. That's part of the reason. And I will tell you this. They've got a bad, bad, badass baseball program at Cal State Fullerton. Cal State Omaha. And I mean this sincerely. I love college baseball. I do. I love college baseball. And I live in Orange County in Southern California. And it's a baseball hotbed. It's a lot of amazing youth baseball, club baseball, high school baseball in this area. And you've got guys who played at Fullerton all over the place. You know, teaching pros, specialists, they're everywhere. And I'm going to be honest about this too. Because I'm in this life. Our older son Jake played high school baseball, club baseball. Logan has played club baseball. He plays high school baseball right now. And I'm not going to lie. Whenever I run into one of these guys and they're Cal State Fullerton alums and they play baseball there, they have my attention immediately because they go about it the right way. Now, if you want to say to me, yeah, Rome, but what about the city? When somebody says, I'm from Fullerton, does that not get your attention immediately? Yeah, in a way. It gets me to walk the other way quickly.
What's so good about...
No offense, Fullerton. I mean, I don't really live that far from you. Far enough, though. When we come back, Trey Mancini, Baltimore Oriole, joins us. Mike Budenholzer coming up next hour. Albie's week that was next hour. An ATP somewhere in here. And more. And a chicken update. How chicken ever became a thing on this show, I have no idea. But it did. I'll give you a hint. Time now for a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true, actually. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome, and I am live. I am in Southern California. Coming up next hour, the head basketball coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mike Budenholzer, is my guest. Right now, however, we are joined by a first baseman for the Baltimore Orioles. He went 2-for-4 with a double against the Mets on Wednesday. He is sixth in the league in runs batted in. He leads the team in home runs and runs batted in for the season, hitting .252, 7 bombs, 29 ribbies, an eighth round pick out of Notre Dame back in 2013. The Yankees are at Baltimore this evening. We are joined by Trey Mancini. Trey, it is so good to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing well, Jim. How about you?
Trey, I'm awesome. I'm awesome, and I want to be very honest about this. This is a conversation that I've really been looking forward to having for quite some time. So let me first thank you for making time for us. How are you doing, and what is the vibe like around the team right now as you get ready for an important series against the Yankees?
Yeah, doing really well. You know, we've had a pretty tough past five games, but overall, I feel good about how we've been trending these last five games, notwithstanding. And I feel like, you know, our pitching staff's done such a good job this year. And as an offense, we're starting to click a little bit more as a unit. So, yeah, I feel good about where we are right now.
Trey Mancini, my guest. And then, Trey, your numbers are up across the board since the start of May. Does it feel like you're finding your rhythm once again? And are you seeing the ball pretty well?
Definitely. The first 2 weeks were tough. I had forgotten after missing a season how quick the game is at the major league level. So readjusting to the pitching, and spring training can only prepare you for so much. You know, being back in regular season games, it's an adrenaline rush you can't really prepare for and you don't really remember until it's there. So, you know, the first 2 weeks, there is definitely some rust that needed to be shaken off, but I've been feeling much more like myself these last few weeks.
Trey, it seems to me like doing what you're doing on the field right now is so remarkable, and even more remarkable when you consider what the last year has been like. You just said yourself, after missing a year, I know you've talked about your story a number of times, but if you're up for it, I'd be honored if you could share it once again, because last year you went to spring training and you did the usual team physical and blood test. The doctors said that your iron looked low, and it was even lower on a second test. At that point, what was going through your mind? What did you think it was?
Yeah, so yeah, the athletic trainers on the team came up to me, told me my iron levels look low, and we were going to do more specific iron testing. They came back even lower that time, so we knew something was up. And the head trainer called me in, and he said, you know, I don't want to scare you, but I think you might be internally bleeding somewhere. You know, maybe the leading candidate is a stomach ulcer, but thankfully they were really proactive and got me a colonoscopy. And unfortunately, they found a malignant tumor in my colon during the procedure. And 6 days later, I had surgery to remove it. And 6 days after that, which was my 28th birthday on March 18th, 2020, I found out I had to do 6 months of chemotherapy. And, you know, at that point, we knew the 2020 season was not going to happen for me. But, you know, at that time, when you hear that, you have much bigger fish to fry, and baseball took a backseat.
Trey Mancini is joining us. I mean, you really summed that up very, very well. But just so we're clear on this, you go in there and you think that it's going to be a stomach ulcer or maybe celiac disease. They
right.
put you under. You think everything's going to be all right because you know there's a risk inherent with an anesthesia, but you assume they'll do what they do. I'll wake up and I'll be fine. Like, when you woke up and you were told what you were told, what did you think then?
I just couldn't believe it. You know, I had a little bit of a strange feeling going into it, but I still, you know, deep down, I'd say I felt pretty good about it, and I was expecting it to be celiac disease, you know, or possibly the stomach ulcer, but basically the doctor that did my procedure had ruled out everything that it wasn't. So he said, I didn't find anything celiac, you know, I'm a stomach ulcer, and you know, as he kept going, it hit me that the only thing left to say is that he found a tumor in my colon, and unfortunately, he did. So it's an absolute gut punch, and you know, the worst news I'd ever been delivered. But I accepted it pretty quickly and knew that, you know, I had to fight it, you know, starting right then.
You know, it's amazing, Trey, because I think, and I always make this point when this topic comes up on the show, that literally everybody knows somebody who has cancer or had cancer, or everybody knows somebody who knew somebody who had cancer. We've all dealt with this. I mean, that's how insidious this is. My father had leukemia, and he battled it for 10 years before he passed on. But I remember when my father and my mother pulled me and my sister aside and said, this is what's going on. And the way my family handled it, Trey, is they said, we're not telling anybody. We just are not going to tell anybody but you kids. And that's a whole different story. But I'm curious, when this goes on and you're only 27, what were those moments like for you and your girlfriend, Sarah?
Yeah, it was really tough because at that point, you know, I had thought that colon cancer really affected only 50-plus-year-olds. So that's a big reason why I didn't really think it was a possibility. And the more I've learned about it, I now know that it does affect younger people, and it is at a much higher rate now. So, you know, that part of it was very unexpected, but it's really hard. You never think it's going to happen to you. And, you know, at that point I was seemingly healthy and at the, you know, top of my career, I was coming off a great year. So, it's devastating to hear that. And, you know, you put your priorities and, you know, perspective very quickly.
I mean, your perspective is absolutely amazing, Trey, but were there any moments, any times where you said, why me? Why me?
Yeah, there were. I'm not going to lie, and still sometimes there even are. But you definitely have to move on, and you know, it stinks. It's not fun, but you know, you can either feel sorry for yourself or get up and, you know, try to help inspire others and, you know, not let cancer stand in the way of any of your goals or anything like that. And that's the way that I've tried to face it. And, you know, being back playing baseball is, you know, just icing on the cake. Cause there are a lot of times where I wasn't sure if it was going to be possible. So I'm making sure that I'm, you know, cherishing being out there.
Trey Mancini joining us. I'm so glad you'd come on. We could talk about this. Like, for instance, and I definitely want to talk about where you are right now in baseball, but just, again, this point, like, every 2 weeks you would drive to Johns Hopkins for chemo. Like, what was that part of the experience like? And then what were the 5 days after the session like?
Yeah, so it was strange. This was all happening during the pandemic. So my girlfriend, Sarah, could not go into the sessions with
right.
me. So we were living in D.C. I drove up to Hopkins, so it was an hour drive. So I'd come home. It was every other Monday that I went in. So I'd get home from my chemotherapy session, and that's when it would set in. That's when I'd really, like, not to start to not feel good. I'd get pale. And then from about Monday to that Thursday, I'd have barely any appetite. I didn't really want to drink any fluids or anything. It was really hard to keep anything down, or, you know, I had no want to really put anything in my body. But Sarah really helped me and you know, helped take care of me those few days. And then luckily by about Friday, my appetite would come back. I'd start to feel decent, and I'd have about 9 or 10 days of feeling pretty good, which was the saving grace in all of it. So it kind of became a routine. So I went in knowing that those 3 or 4 days were not going to be fun, but then there were also 9 or 10 days at the back end of it where I'd feel like myself and I'd feel pretty good. So if you take it treatment by treatment, it goes by a little quicker than you'd think.
Trey Mancini joining us. And Sarah, I know, is so important in that. And you had a lot of love and support from those close to you. But Trey, what about the love and support that you received from your greater family, your bigger family, your family of baseball, the love from your teammates, coaches, former players, fans, and more? How much did that mean to you?
Oh, it means the world to me. You know, I have been saying lately, going to New York and Boston and, you know, hearing the fans be very nice to you and cheer for you whenever you go up to bat, it's a very strange feeling, and you know, not anything that I ever expected to feel, but it's been amazing. And all the players, every single team we play, everybody has been so nice, and you know, they've asked me a lot of questions about everything I went through. They've just been so great, and it's just been an honor and a joy to be back. And throughout the whole process, the whole baseball community was just incredible, and it helped keep me going.
So in September of last year, you had your last treatment. In fact, September 21st. By November, you were really hitting it hard. You were working out 5 times a week, doing work in the cage. And then your first at bat in spring training, you received a nice ovation from the fans that were allowed in the stadium. You had a knock. You had a single. What was that moment like?
It was incredible. Spring training games, you don't really expect a lot going into the day. It's you know, a glorified practice game, I'd say. And I wasn't really expecting much going to the field, and I got the really nice ovation. The players on both teams, we were playing the Pirates that day, you know, they stopped the game and just applauded me, and I wasn't totally expecting it. I'm not sure why I wasn't expecting it, but I wasn't. And, you know, it was hard to hold back tears there. It was just an incredible moment, and things kind of came back full circle because Sarasota is where I had found out the previous year that I had cancer. So to be back there playing in a game really meant a lot to me.
Trey, what was it like for the home opener when you run out onto the field? There are fans in the stands. They welcome you home. It was such an emotional moment, I would imagine. Just I could see it just watching it. What do you remember about that day, the home opener?
Yeah, I remember just trying to – I was thinking to myself, don't cry. You know, don't visibly cry right now, because it was incredible. It was 25% capacity, but it felt like 100% with the way everybody was cheering. It was a moment that I had envisioned a lot throughout the previous year. And like I said earlier, I wasn't sure if it was ever going to happen, but luckily it did. And it was everything that I had envisioned it to be.
You know, Trey, I would imagine that it seems to me, and I've seen this before, like, and I understand this and I respect it. If you go through something like that and it is so challenging and it's so hard and it's so painful on so many different levels, I could see whereby you might say, I had a really tough year. I'm back. I really just want to focus on baseball. But that's not the way you're approaching it. You're extremely generous in sharing your story and being an inspiration to other people. Why is that the approach that you decide to take, and why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I think raising awareness is just so important. Like I said, a lot more younger people that wouldn't ordinarily get checked should get checked, especially if they have a family history. So I really want to pay it forward and maybe help save a few lives. If you know, anybody hears my story and decides to go to the doctor, get a colonoscopy, and they can get a couple polyps taken out possibly, I mean, that's huge, and that's my goal, you know, because I don't want anybody to go through what I did, because chemotherapy is not fun. I'm not going to lie. So if you can avoid it, you know, getting a colonoscopy is really not bad. I think it's just so important to get checked.
I think that's so cute what you just said. When you said it's really not that bad. The fact is, I did it.
Really
I'm due for a second, but Trey, you know what it is. It's like, it is what it is, and it's not inexpensive, absolutely. But I got to tell you, man, that was like the best $1,000 nap I ever had.
Yeah, it really is. And it's more the day before. The cleanse isn't fun, but, you know, and then you go, you have the procedure done, you can have a great meal after that, you know, and you really appreciate getting to eat food again, but it's a very important thing to get checked out.
I think it's really important, Trey, what you just said. It's the day before. The prep is actually worse than the procedure. Would you agree?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah, and I've done it twice in the last year or so. And, yeah, the prep's the worst part. And even that is not, you know, that bad.
My last thought about this, and it's not that bad, exactly. The Players Tribune piece last year, you wrote, I have stage 3 colon cancer. I started chemotherapy on April 13, and I am so lucky. How in that moment did you feel so lucky?
I felt very fortunate to be playing Major League Baseball and having the health care I do. And, you know, I would never have caught this until it was stage 4, for sure, if I didn't get that blood test and the athletic trainers weren't so on top of it and diligent and you know, seeing what it was. And I felt really lucky to have caught it when it did and it hadn't spread to any other organs. And, you know, that's very important. And I felt really fortunate because I had no side effects at all. So that's the scary thing is, you know, I had no reason to believe I had colon cancer. And you know, it's crazy how it happened, but I felt very lucky that to have the people around me that helped me in that time.
Trey Mancini, my guest. Like I said, Trey, I've been looking forward to having that conversation for a long, long time. So I really appreciate you making time for us for this show. It's a message that I know is going to help so many people that need to hear that. Trey, it's great to have you on the show. You sound great. You're playing great. And it's really nice to do that. Thanks so much, Trey.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Trey Mancini. Really appreciate you, Trey. Thank you very much for sharing. When we come back, if you want to react to it, you know you can. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Hour 3 straight ahead.